In the field of modern psychology, great emphasis is put on happiness and how to find happiness, how to live a life that is happy. Perhaps not as well known, but more importantly, is that from a Jewish perspective, we view happiness and living a life of contentedness and genuine happiness as not only an emotional or psychological benefit, but in fact a supreme religious value, perhaps even an obligation. The Gemara in Tainis on Daf Chaf Beis tells us in the name of Eliyahu Hanavi, no less than, that there are two particular people that he alludes to who are in the marketplace, who are Bnei Olam Haba. They have lived such a virtuous life, they will merit the ultimate reward after they pass away. And the Gemara goes on to explain that what was it about these two people who were not great rabbis, they were not very famous, what about their lifestyle merited such a great reward? And the Gemara tells us that they were comedians, that they made people happy and they took away their sadness. And whatever other mitzvos that they did, I'm sure they did many, but the Gemara specifically ascribes the great reward that they will merit because they brought people happiness and took away their sadness. What an incredible statement. Not only should we have greater appreciation for kosher comedians, but this certainly and undoubtedly applies to the entire spectrum of mental health professionals who help people in that regard. Or for that matter, anybody who just brings a smile to someone else's face and gives them a little joy in their life, says the Gemara, that itself is worthy of making you a Ben Olam Haba. What a dramatic statement underlying the importance of happiness in life. Of course, this goes back to the famous pasuk in Tehillim and Parakuf, Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha ba'ol lefanav birnana. It's not enough to just worship Hashem, but generally we're inspired to and even commanded to live a life generally and specifically religiously of simcha, of happiness. The Tana de Eliyahu, a fascinating midrashic source, points out something very interesting, that most of the prophets had the difficult task of prophesying difficult prophecies, doom and gloom, predictions of great punishment and destruction of the Jewish people wouldn't follow the mitzvos, and yet Yeshayahu Anavi disproportionately has many comforting and uplifting and positive prophecies. And the Medrash wants to know why Yeshayahu HaNavi was uniquely meritorious, why was he uniquely zoche to this more uplifting, comforting message. And the Medrash answers, "M'nei shemekabel alav ol malchus shemayim b'simcha," because his whole general attitude towards religious life and devotion was one of simcha. And apparently he embodied that even more than other prophets, and specifically because of that attitude of simcha, he was rewarded with this more enjoyable and fortunate position of being able to give prophecies not of doom and gloom, but in fact of happiness and uplifting other people's spirits, because he himself was a happy person. The Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei Torah in Perek Zayin perhaps sums all of this up in a very powerful way. He's working off of other sources in the Gemara, but he points out, bottom line, Ein ha-nevuah shora ela mitoch simcha, Ein ha-shchina shora ela mitoch simcha. If you want to have a sublime, uplifting, transcendent religious experience, if you want to really get to the heights of spiritual life and experience, it will only happen if one has simcha, if one has genuine happiness in one's life. If you go around with a heavy face and just doom and gloom, even if you are objectively difficult things in your life, but if you can't get past that and find happiness in your life, says Rambam, you will never have the highest and most transcendent spiritual experiences. So all of this is generally the value and virtue of happiness. But I want to spend our remaining time focusing on two subcategories, which are also very important to highlight. Number one is the special obligation of simcha shel mitzvah. Not just a general attitude of simcha, but specifically to have a feeling of simcha, of happiness, while we're doing mitzvos. And this brings us to our parsha this week. In the Tochacha, which of course is the scary description of the horrible punishments that the Jewish people might unfortunately have to endure if they don't follow all the mitzvos, there's a somewhat shocking pasuk towards the end, Per Chavches, pasuk Mem Zayin, Tachas Hashelo, Avadat Hashem Lokecha, Besimcho, Betuv Leivav, Meirov Kol. Why is all this happening? Because you didn't worship Hashem out of happiness and gratitude for all that Hashem had done for you. Amazingly, this pasuk seems to be saying that even if you do the mitzvos, you might get punished. For sure you're going to get punished if you don't do the mitzvos. But ultimately, what was the real cause of the punishment? That they did the mitzvos, but they didn't do them out of simcha. And this is really a shocking statement. We could deserve such terrible punishment because we did the mitzvot, just not with a smile on our face. But in fact, the Rambam brings us down lahalacha in Hilchos Sukkah Perches. Says the Rambam, ha-simcha she-yisamach adam yisiyas ha-mitzvah, the simcha that a person has when they're doing mitzvot, avoda gedolahi. It's a big job. It's not always easy. The Rambam acknowledges that sometimes we're not in the mood, or sometimes certain mitzvos will speak to us, but maybe other mitzvos won't move us or inspire us. So we have to work at it to find simcha in all of the mitzvos. But says the Rambam, it's important that we do the work. Why? Because if we don't do that, if we do the mitzvos, but we don't have the simcha, then unfortunately, says the Rambam, royal he parimimeno, we, good God forbid, be eligible and at risk for great punishment. And he quotes the pasuk in our parsha as a proof text. Tachas l'shal avadas Hashem l'kecha b'simcha u'b'tuv levav. So this is really underscoring and highlighting the importance of having simcha, not only generally, but specifically when one does a mitzvah. The Sefer HaCharedim quotes from the Arizal, the famed Jewish mystic and spiritual giant, that when asked to explain how he was able to achieve such great heights in spiritual understanding and mysticism, he explained, in his own opinion, because every time he did a mitzvah, he was sameach basiyas kol mitzvah simcha gedola ein tachlis. He was unbelievably, uncontrollably happy every time he did a mitzvah. And he ascribed his success in general to that overall attitude and disposition of simcha while doing a mitzvah. So these are just a few sources of many that I could quote that highlight this special subcategory of the importance and the implications and significance of doing mitzvos with the right attitude, that of simcha and of joy. And finally, one other subcategory is specifically simcha shel limud haTorah, specifically learning Torah out of sense of happiness and joy. The end of Perkei Avos in Perek Vav has a very famous list of Memches Kinyanei Torah, 48 attributes a person needs if they want to truly master Torah. And one of them, one of the early ones, is Simcha, that you cannot genuinely and truly master Torah unless you come to it, the study of Torah, out of a sense of joy, of pleasure, enjoying your learning. And many of the Mefarshim there in Perkei Avos give many practical benefits that one can have, that the student will have from learning mitoch simcha. And it's really fascinating because I think they very much conform and correspond to insights in modern educational practice. But Mefarshim already point out, you see, practically speaking, a person will accomplish great things if they learn mitoch simcha. But lastly, the Egle Tal has a very famous point. He says it's not just a practical point, it's a matter of principle, philosophy. Ikra mitzvah limud haTorah li'osasa sameach mas'anig b'limudo. The greatest, highest level of learning is to learn mitoch simcha.